The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Coming up at 8:40 this morning, going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play. It's going to be coming up on next Thursday, as it's going to be Thirsty Thursday, and the River Dogs will take on the Greenville Drive. All right, Google is got a few things going on over there at their headquarters. Looks like they fired this engineer who wrote a memo criticizing the company's diversity efforts. Now, there was some talk about why more women aren't in high-paying or, we'll say, upper-level management jobs in a lot of the tech industry. So this guy, James Damore, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, he's a Harvard PhD graduate. He has been fired for sending out a response to this to the diversity program over there in at Google, not here. He says he's been fired for perpetuating gender stereotypes. So this was a big memo that started out as an internal document criticizing Google's diversity programs that have been widely shared by its employees over the years. It then leaked out into the public domain over the weekend. Among some of the more controversial parts, Damore argued that differences in distributions of traits between men and women may in part explain why we don't have 50% representation of women in tech and leadership. He also said, and I believe this is where he starts to get in trouble, that women are more neurotic than men, and that this is a factor in their employment. He said this may contribute to the higher levels of anxiety women report on Google Geist. I guess that's their little internal website they have there. And it also contributes to the lower number of women in high-stress jobs. Okay, well, there you go. So was he right about that? Was he correct about that? I don't know. I see a lot of women in some very high-paying, high-pressure jobs out there. So he has been fired for this memo, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this, because there are a lot of people that are just questioning why women aren't in some of these high-paying tech jobs. And sometimes the truth of the matter is women don't always go after these high-paying or high-stress tech jobs. If you want to know the gender bias that's going on out there between men and women, check out that movie. It's called The Red Pill. You can get it I don't know if you can get it on Google anymore, but you can certainly get it online and check that out. I think we got it off Amazon or something like that, paid a couple of dollars for it and watched it. It was very enlightening about the differences in the discrimination between men and women. And it turns out that, yes, while there is some gender bias in corporate America today, overall, it's men who are really discriminated against. In fact, they've even got a word for it. It's so prevalent in our society today that there's even a word for it. Patriarchy. That's what they have. So check that movie out. It is absolutely fascinating. In fact, the woman who made the movie she started out as a feminist. And by the time she was finished with this movie, the last line of the movie was, "I can no longer call myself a feminist." So very interesting to watch.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Chelsea Handler got into a little bit of hot water. We all know, quote unquote, comedian Chelsea Handler. She's been catching a little bit of heat for a tweet that basically calling for thought police out there. So on Sunday night, she tweeted out about two Chinese tourists who were arrested in Berlin over the weekend for making the Nazi salute outside of the Reichstag. Here's what she tweeted. "Wouldn't it be nice to have laws here for people who think racism is funny?" Well, those people that follow these things immediately started blasting Chelsea Handler and accused her of promoting censorship. That's right, Chelsea. That's why we have the First Amendment here in the United States. One person said, "Are you saying that we should have thought police?" Another said, "I wonder if she's in favor of this new law being retroactive, as she's told countless racist jokes over the years." And a lot of people pointed out that Chelsea Handler's own comments including pointed out her comments, including several jokes at the expense of our First Lady Melania Trump and her accent. So back in January, Handler told Variety that she wouldn't interview the First Lady because she can barely speak English. Oh, speaking English is a prerequisite, huh? Well, I think she speaks English a little bit better than you, Chelsea Handler. So now they are not, haven't returned calls for a comment from Chelsea Handler. But back in September of 2016, Chelsea Handler tweeted, Angelina Jolie has filed for divorce from Brad Pitt. She wants the China. He wants the China. She wants Pax and Maddox. Oh, okay. There you go. That's how you do. So racist jokes are only funny when Democrats and liberals make them, right? Everybody else should be arrested. Everybody else should be arrested. So one woman said, you're calling for the arrest of countless comedians who make jokes on race. First Amendment is vitally important for preserving freedom and democracy. Chelsea Handler basically calls for the arrest of Sarah Silverman and countless other comedians. One person said, remember when you made fun of FLOTUS because of her accent and heritage? Maybe you should be arrested. So again, the hypocrisy, sometimes the folks on the left will show you exactly who they are. And remember, it's like, and I don't quote Oprah often, but in this case I will. When someone tells you who they really are, believe them. Believe them. And that's exactly what Chelsea Handler has done. Now, there's all of this is kind of ties into this memo that went out from Google on Sunday where this guy, Damore, PhD graduate from Harvard, said that basically there are emotional and there are differences between men and women, and that could be one of the reasons that women do not hold some of the high-pressure, high-stress executive jobs at some of these tech firms. So there were some scientists. Well, this guy pointed out that not only the biological differences between men and women, but also how these apply in the workplace. So four scientists said that the 10-page document was scientifically accurate. They said the author of the Google essay on issues related to diversity gets nearly all of the science and its implications exactly right. It's according to Rutgers University professor Lee Jessam. He says its main points are that neither the left nor the right gets diversity completely right. The social science evidence on implicit and explicit bias is widely oversold and is far weaker than most people realize. And Google has, perhaps unintentionally, created an authoritarian atmosphere that has stifled discussion of these issues by stigmatizing anyone who disagrees with them as a bigot and insinuated or instituted authoritarian policies of reverse discrimination. That's right. You can say anything you want at Google as long as it agrees with everybody else. And that's where the thought police are coming in. And they are here. They are ready to go. I think all of this started with this whole ridiculous hate crimes bill where, you know, if you shoot somebody, that's one thing. But if you shoot somebody because you don't like their race or their gender or their heritage, well, that's a hate crime. It's still the same act. It's just how you felt when you committed that act. The hate crimes, which are just thought police, in effect.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:38, 22 minutes until 8 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, worldwide at WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program today. That's 556-1250. We would absolutely love to talk to you. The Palmetto Carriage Works sent me an email yesterday. It's a press release that they donated about $2,000 to Hope Acres Rescue and the Learn Horse Rescue Farms. Last weekend, three Charleston Carriage Companies, Charleston Carriage Works, Old South Carriage Company, and Charleston Carriage Works came together to raise money for horses in need. On Saturday, each of the companies pledged to donate $1 from each ticket sold to go to Hope Acres Rescue and Learn Horse Rescue Farms. Both of these charities are dedicated to rescuing and rehabilitating unwanted horses and the ultimate goal of finding those horses a new home. And they say, we are not only committed to make sure our horses have the best care available, but we think all horses should be given the same opportunity. That from Tommy Doyle, the general manager there at Palmetto Carriage Works. He said, we have been working with charities like Learn and Hope for many years and are excited to be able to show them support like this with the help of our customers and communities. Now, there's been a lot of talk about horse carriages lately and the care of the horse carriages here in Charleston. Well, there was a veterinarian that specializes in horses that do the type of work that are done here in Charleston. And he did an assessment and said, hey, you know what? These horses look extremely, extremely happy and fit and healthy. You can tell by their demeanor. He said they all look well nourished. And in a couple of cases, he said some of the horses were overnourished, we'll say. How much you want to bet Charlie James, the draft horse, was one of the overnourished horses they were talking about? He's hefty. He's about 2,000 pounds. Hopefully, I'm going to get to see him coming up in the next couple of weeks. Now, speaking of horse carriages, you know where the horse carriages line up down there at the market? You know that parking lot? When you go downtown and you get down there on Church Street and near Pinckney, and there's that parking lot there? Well, that may be going away. That may be going away as we continue to tell you that if there's ever any bare spot here in Charleston, they're going to put up a hotel. That's right. That's right. Another hotel. So after months of speculation about what's being planned for that empty parking lot near the city market, empty parking lot, there are cars in that parking lot. People park in that parking lot. They're planning on putting they're looking at a 150-room hotel. That's the most popular theory right now. So basically, it's going to be a 7-story, 135-room grand hotel on par with the Ritz-Carlton, they say, with a lot of upscale condominiums there, including a rooftop penthouse, several shops, a restaurant, a public park, a covered walkway. How about that? So the project also calls for three two-story Charleston single houses that I'm sure are going to be in the millions of dollars. So if the city approves the deal, and how much you want to bet they do, they say it's going to dramatically change the landscape and move the rapidly changing city market to even more upscale. Even more upscale. That's what we're going. We're going upscale on the peninsula in Charleston. No, don't worry about the roads. Don't worry about the roads, people. We got to put up a hotel. We got to put up a hotel here. We've got some empty space. We've got to do this. So this guy, Tyler Morris, who's a managing partner with the development company, Geyer Morris, said last week that we think this is a different type of hotel. This is truly a mixed-use property. Absolutely. So they're working with this capital management company out of Atlanta. They bought the parking lot near the sheds and the horse stables there from First Baptist Church back in 2013. So how much want to bet they put it up? How many? Anybody want to go with the odds on the fact that they are going to put up this new upscale hotel? You know, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. I don't think we're really being penny wise and pound foolish, as they say. I think they're so interested in making the peninsula of Charleston, especially right there downtown in the Church Street area, in the market area, they are so interested in making this so upscale that they are going to ruin this city in the coming decades. You're not going to see any locally owned shops there. It's all going to be chains. It's all going to be national chains, the ones that can't afford to come in and do that. They're going to ruin the feel of downtown Charleston. They're going to make it, they're going to turn it into a Disneyland type atmosphere down there. You're not going to be able to park. You're not going to be able to get around. It's going to be horrible. And what we ought to do is we ought to take the pictures of everybody that's on the council right now, put it up on a billboard and say, ladies and gentlemen, these are the people that ruined Charleston. People come here for a reason. And when you keep putting up hotel after hotel after hotel and raising the rent, how many local companies have we seen go out of business because they can't afford the rent down on King Street anymore? How many of those have we seen? Time after time after time after time again. These, you can go to some of these companies anywhere in the world. You can go to Augusta and go to an iPhone store, an Apple store. You can go to Augusta and go to whatever store you're looking for, these national chains. It's the mom and pop stores, the locally owned stores that give downtown its unique character. And they are looking at taking away everything unique about Charleston. And they're going to ruin the reason that the people come here. And then what are we going to have? We're going to have an empty town. Scott's west of the Ashley. How are you, Scott?
I'm well, thank you.
What's up?
I think a couple of things you mentioned. That horse has left the barn on what they're doing to Charleston. Mm-hmm. But you said, you know, why would people want to come here? I would rephrase the question. Why would people want to live here?
Well, I mean, I thought that was the whole thing that Mayor Tecklenburg ran on.
Yeah,
it was the livability of Charleston. We can go back and pull. We can go back and pull the interview tapes from the debate we had between him and Stavronakis, where he was talking about he wants to make this a good city for people to live in. Well, they're making it damn near impossible for anybody to live in.
They certainly are. It's who would want to live here and contend with this? I would use the criteria. How does one more hotel benefit the citizens?
It doesn't.
It benefits a handful of people. I kind of feel like they've taken downtown and squeezed everything they can out of it. Now mm-hmm. they're coming for West Ashley. I'm getting nervous here in West Ashley when the city wants to improve things over here. But I'm glad you're speaking about this. It's beyond ridiculous. The tourist crowd loves to say tourism supports you,
mm-hmm.
like we owe them something. No, tourism is what's going to kill us in the long run. Even people have to work downtown, Charlie.
Right, and there's no place to park.
An hour in a restaurant, and
yeah.
Where are they going to park?
You're exactly right. And some people, they're spending a big chunk of their paycheck every month just to park their car and work downtown. Well, we're going to try to get people not driving downtown. We're going to try to do that. We're going to try to, you know, they'll ride their bikes or what have you.
Yeah.
Or take mass transit, which nobody wants to do because...
No, they don't.
I mean, go look at any bus, and it's empty. It is virtually empty.
It's government. It's a government-run function, and government doesn't do anything well.
You're exactly right. Scott, I appreciate you calling in this morning.
WTMA!
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:50, 10 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up at 8:40, we are going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play. You don't want to miss out on that. And we also want to remind you, well, there are a couple of little disturbances out there in the Atlantic and in the Gulf, and some of them, one of them could at least turn into a hurricane, maybe potentially. And we want to make sure that you're ready. This one not expected to do too much as far as we are concerned, but that doesn't mean one isn't out there waiting for us. You can download the WTMA Hurricane Preparedness Guide from WTMA.com. It's free, and it's got a lot of life-saving information in there, brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, Jeff Cook Real Estate in East Bay Deli. So get your hurricane guide right now at WTMA. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Talking about downtown and how, I don't understand what the folks on the city council are really looking at. Some of these developers putting up all these hotels. You go down to Marion Square. I mean, it doesn't even, you know, when I got here 6 years ago, downtown looks completely different now. I mean, look, you just ride downtown and you see scaffolding, you see cranes, you see all of these new hotels coming up, all of this new construction. And while I'm all for growth, I don't think they are really looking at this in the long run. Yes, Charleston is the number one city in North America right now, but it's the number one city for a reason, because it's got that historic flair to it, because it's a nice, it's a slow pace. It's you've got great little shops here that you can't find anywhere else. You've got great little attractions here. You've got all of this wonderful stuff that people just flock to this city for. And I think they're in a very real danger. They've already started taking some of that away. I don't care if you do build a couple of Charleston single houses next to this hotel. There's still going to be new Charleston single houses. They're going to be there. You know what they're going to be? Have you ever been to Las Vegas? If you go to Las Vegas, they've got all of these. They've got New York, New York, the hotel there, modeled after New York. All right, that's not really the Statue of Liberty. I hate to tell you, but that's not really the Statue of Liberty there. They've got the Luxor. I hate to tell you, that's not really an Egyptian pyramid there at the Luxor. They've got Paris. They've got the Paris Hotel there in Las Vegas. That's not really the Eiffel Tower. These are all just fake models of the real thing. And you can make a Charleston single house look like a Charleston single house all you want to, but it's not the real thing. And in addition, they don't even let people take care of the real thing. Go downtown and get off of King Street. Get off of King Street for a little bit and go down some of these side streets. Go down Trad. Go down Cumming. Go down Spring Street. Go down some of these streets and look at some of these original Charleston single houses that are just about to fall down. There's one not far from me that literally has been held up by 2x4s. And that's not an exaggeration. And these are several 2x4s that are just nailed together, and they buttress this thing up, and they hope, well, I was about to say, they hope it doesn't fall, but in fact, they do hope it falls. That's exactly what they wanted to do, because it's too expensive for them to go in and fix because of the incredible amount of guidelines that the city has. The city puts more guidelines, it seems like, on a homeowner that is trying to renovate their home downtown. They put more guidelines on them than somebody that is coming in and building a brand new structure. Because you have to go back with original materials, original paint colors, original this. Well, I don't know where I can find square nails anymore. I'm sorry. I don't know where I can find hand-hewn timbers anymore. I was going to go to 84 Lumber and pick mine up. I was going to go get mine from Lowe's. But you can't do that. They've got all of these guidelines and regulations in order to retain the historical credibility, we'll say, for some of these homes down there. And it's just, they're ruining it. They are ruining it. They would rather these homes fall down or get to the point where they just become condemned and have to be pulled down. Saw one of those happen a couple of weeks ago downtown. And it's just a darn shame. It really is. Here's what it's like. Oh. Jennifer Gray. Remember Jennifer Gray? Am I thinking of the right woman? What was her name? John, help me out. Dirty Dancing. What was the girl's name in Dirty Dancing?
Jennifer Gray. Before her nose job.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Thank you. Jennifer Gray, very attractive woman. Everybody loved Jennifer Gray. Dirty Dancing, they were falling all over. She was great. She decided to get a nose job. Now she can't work in Hollywood. Nobody wants her. Because she looks like, whoa, you're Jennifer Gray. Yeah, you look a lot like this person over here. So we're going to go with this person over here because they're cheaper. So why would you go to a town that is going to be just like every other downtown anywhere in America? Oh, just because it's Charleston? just because it's, you know, it's supposedly historic. Well, you're taking all the history out of it. You're taking all the history out of it, and they're just going to make it cookie cutter. They're going to make this a cookie cutter town that you could go find just about anywhere. I hate to tell you, Charleston's a beautiful town. That was a beautiful town. Love this place. Absolutely do. I adore it. 100%. But there are other places that are pretty too, that maybe aren't as expensive, that maybe aren't as crowded, that maybe aren't as, I don't know, cookie cutter, like I said. So if you really want to protect this town and its longevity, then you need to start, we need to stop doing all of this development and construction downtown, because it's going to lose all of it. It's going to lose. I would just be shocked if they didn't try to do something and make Marion Square smaller than what it is right now, just to put up another hotel or another, you know, what have you. Anyway, it's a shame. And it breaks my heart to see. It really does. It breaks my heart to drive downtown and see what they are doing to this city. And again, I think 10, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, we'll look back and go, God, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? Because now nobody can afford to live here. Nobody can afford to live here. I do. I think it's a shame.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on your, what is it, Tuesday morning? Is this week going by that slow? Yes, I do believe it is. So 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up at 840, we're going to be giving away tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Also, right around that time, we're going to be talking with Dan Gaynor. He's the Vice President of Business and Culture with the with CRC. And we're going to be talking with him about Jim Acosta. And one of the reasons that they pulled some of these, the cameras, and I think this is a pretty cool idea. When you think about the logic behind it, remember when Sean Spicer said, all right, that's it, no more cameras at these press meetings. No more cameras. Well, he did that to prevent exactly what Acosta did the other day in grandstanding. These guys want to get as much TV time as they can possibly get. They want to get up there and they want to grandstand. They want to hog the whole conversation. And when you pull the cameras off of people like that, well, that goes away because, ta-da, you no longer have the spotlight. So we'll be talking with the folks from the CRC coming up in just a little bit. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. This thing with Alan Wilson is getting pretty interesting. The Democrats are calling for Alan Wilson to resign. Now, this comes after he sent an email to Richard Quinn, who is a political consultant. He is a political consultant. So according to some of these emails that were obtained by the Post and Courier, Alan Wilson appears to have, they say, and these are the words, he appears to have colluded with Richard Quinn, who is, by the way, under investigation up there in the State House, on how to boot or remove South Carolina First District Solicitor David Pascoe off of this ethics probe that's going on. So, reading from Fitz News here, Wilson's allies argue Quinn was the Attorney General's political advisor at the time, and yes, he was, and not a subject of the investigation, okay? Meanwhile, Wilson said he merely sought Quinn's edits for grammatical purposes, not political feedback. Well, the Democrats, they're not buying that story, no matter how true it might be. So, Anthony Thompson from the South Carolina Democrat Party, he's the second vice chairman, he says the appearance of collusion exposed in yesterday's Post and Courier makes it clear that the time has come for the Attorney General to resign. At best, he has used poor judgment that compromises public faith in both the ongoing corruption probe and his office. At worst, he participated in obstruction of justice. Now, you have to remember that the Democrats are going to hit on this collusion That's mentioned in the story. And obstruction of justice. That's mentioned in the story. Because what they do is they go out and they get have these focus groups. And they'll throw words out there. What word is the most negative? Collusion? Obstruction of justice? Oh, those registered really highly with the people that we were polling there. So we'll use those words as often as possible. And you'll find out, you're going to start hearing more and more of this as time goes on, because they're all trying to use the words that the national media is using to try to take down President Trump. So they're going to use the same words to take down Alan Wilson here in South Carolina. So we'll see. Now, was Richard Quinn under investigation at the time when these emails were written? Not according to Alan Wilson. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. I don't really see where anything wrong was done with some of these emails, but, you know, well, time will tell.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
It was back in 1934. That Santee Cooper was formed to electrify the rural areas of South Carolina. Of course, Santee Cooper owns Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie. They give power to about 2 million of our 4.9 million people here in South Carolina, mostly through the state's rural electric cooperatives. And it looks like now Governor Henry McMaster is looking at how to finish one of the two nuclear reactors who, of course, the plug literally got pulled on them last week, costing about 5,000 workers their jobs. He's weighing in, thinking about selling Santee Cooper, which is a state-owned utility. And, of course, they're up there with partnered with Casey-based SCANA, which is the parent of SCE&G, to build two reactors. And they want to know if to do that or sell the public utility's 45% ownership in the project up there in Fairfield County. This according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, SCANA and Santee Cooper directors voted last week to pull out of the project. And, of course, that was widely criticized, and maybe rightfully so. The two companies have already charged their customers about $2 billion to help finance the project. And then they just simply put down the shovels and walked away. We are done with it. Thank you very much. Ta-da! And now, not a very good act you got going on there. So spokesman, McMaster spokesman Brian Sims says, it should be no surprise that he's continuing to work on this issue. I certainly hope he is. Any specific dealings or conversations that he's had right now, I'm not going to comment on those. Now, Santee Cooper chief executive Lonnie Carter said that he hadn't talked to McMaster about selling the state-owned utility or its stake in the nuclear project. McMaster, of course, appoints the board there for Santee Cooper. So Santee Cooper chairman Leighton Ford said that the control of the public utility is in the state's hands. If the General Assembly and the governor think it's in the best interest of South Carolina to sell the utility or to share or its share of the nuclear project, I'll support it. Now, Mike Fanning, who is up there in Fairfield County, who is really going to be hit the hardest by this, said that he has met with McMaster, saying that the governor is absolutely in favor of salvaging the project. In his mind, according to Fanning, everything should be on the table, saying that McMaster thinks the South Carolina power customers deserve some sort of return for their $2 billion investment in the reactors. And to that, all the God's children said amen, right? Yeah, we'd like to have a little bit of that money back there, Pally. We don't want to be paying that, what is it, $4.26 on our electric bill for the next 60 years, they say. So some of the options are forcing state-owned Santee Cooper to reverse its decision to pull out of the project, enticing another utility to buy out Santee Cooper's stake in the partially built reactors, requesting help from the pro-nuclear Trump administration, or offering a state loan with strict stipulations. Wouldn't you think this would be a pretty good opportunity for another electric company to come in and buy the stake in these nuclear reactors and complete this construction? I think it'd be a pretty darn good investment opportunity for them. But we'll have to see what happens with that, because right now we know that that we're not getting any money back. In fact, we are being charged more money for something that we are never going to get. We have had zero benefit from the construction of these two nuclear reactors. None. I will say that. However, in Fairfield County, there's about 5,000 people who had jobs because of this nuclear reactor. About 5,000 families that were paying their mortgage and putting their kids through school and paying their bills because of this reactor. Let's go to Billy on James Island. What do you think, Billy?
Oh, what a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem that you've got is right now, I think there's at least 7 projects for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think TVA, one of their failed projects in Alabama, they had $5 billion in it, and I think it sold last year for $39.1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, wait a minute, a nuclear reactor?
The whole entire site.
Sold for $39 million?
Right. TVA had 3 failed projects. They had one in Tennessee, one in Alabama, and I'm trying to think where the other one was at.
That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, and basically what happened to them, not only did they have all the snafus like we have now,
mm-hmm.
but then they realized that they didn't need that much electricity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, we're using C batteries when we only needed a AAA.
Right, and it, there's companies out there, and like I say, I don't know what they call themselves now, but it used to be called Framatome out of France,
mm-hmm.
and you really need somebody like that to come in and do an assessment and tell you what it's going to cost to take and finish the thing.
Yeah, I would love to see another company come in, buy out their stake in this project, and then just go ahead and complete it.
Right, but you're still talking, big bucks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're still possibly looking at, I'm thinking another $8 billion to finish both of them.
Well, if we're going to pay for it anyway,
right?
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, but you just need to get somebody, competent like Framatome involved. Westinghouse is not a bad company. And Toshiba, I don't know what happened to them, but it's just like, you got 2 kids, and as long as you keep them separated, they're pretty good.
Right. but put them in that back seat together, and they start raising a ruckus.
Yeah. There you go. And that's the situation you have there. But, you really need to go outside and find somebody like Framatome with a successful track record,
right,
like they've done in France, and to just come in and say, okay, look, What is it going to take?
And go ahead and get this thing done. Billy, I appreciate you calling in. Got to hit a break here.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Ah. 8:41, 19 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. I got a pair of tickets to Thirsty Thursday coming up at the Joe on the 17th as the River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive. And I will take caller number 7 right now, 7, John, at 556-1250. That's 556-1250, caller number 7. Going to win these tickets to Thirsty Thursday out at the Joe on the 17th. If you haven't had a chance to get out there and see the River Dogs this season yet, oh, you're missing out on a great time. Always had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun this past Saturday as we had Sweet Night with the Joe out there. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Oh, watching them drop those bouncy balls was absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So let's go to the phones right now. We will talk to caller number 7 and say good morning. Who's this?
Bobby,
how are you this morning, buddy?
Doing very well. I hope you are.
Absolutely. I certainly am. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in. You are caller number 7, and you just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to go see the River Dogs play. How about that, buddy?
2 days in a row. How about that?
Oh, okay. That's fantastic for you. All right. Going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We'll head out to Somerville and talk to Malcolm. Malcolm, hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, I did, sir. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Hey, you sound like, wait, you sound like you're in a real good mood right now.
Oh, I'm still in a good mood. Oh,
okay. All right, good.
Yeah. Well, 45's pulled numbers lower than you know what, and President Mike Pence stabbed him in the back.
All right. First of all, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you spread lies on this show. This was a New York Times article that said that Mike Pence is weighing some sort of a shadow campaign to run against President Trump coming up in 2020. A claim that Mike Pence himself has denied on several occasions.
Okay, but I thought that he was vying for the presidency with all of his stops and visits and whatever. But you know, my bad.
It was your bad. You're right. That's just it's a false news story. So what next?
Okay. Well, how long do you think it'll be before this fake resigns in disgrace?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think so.
Okay.
His poll numbers are way, way, way down.
However, they are still higher. They are still higher than Chuck Schumer's. They're higher than Nancy Pelosi's. They're higher than Maxine Waters.
But they're not president.
So what? They're still their Congress.
He's the worst president that we've had.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Worst president that we've had ever. Even though, Malcolm, yesterday the Dow set another record high. He's the first president ever to be sitting with two back-to-back rallies in the stock market. The only president ever to do that in such a short period of time. Also, look at what we've actually got. We've got unemployment numbers at an all-time low, 4.3%. More people on the dole, on the payrolls than...
On the dole?
Not on the dole. More people employed...
Freudian slip.
Than we have had in a long time.
Keep on defending it, Mr. James. I like you. You're a good man, but that fake is going down.
You like me, I'm a good man. The truest things you've said in that conversation.
.com.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
It's 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. We'd love to talk to you this morning. Maxine Waters was asked about whether or not a new black political party should be started. She was asked by a radio host, I believe it was yesterday.
Should do what?
Should start their own political party.
No, not at this point. You've got to show that you're willing and you're able to put the numbers together and exercise your influence. We still are not voting our influence yet. I think what we should do is organize our power, exercise our power, particularly in the Democratic Party, because that's where most of us are. We should go to the conventions. We should be delegates. We should run for office, do all of that, and then you can raise that kind of question, whether or not we're strong enough to talk about organizing another party.
Here's what I think you should do, Maxine Waters. You should actually start working to help those people in your party. I mean, if you look, right now, if I were being represented by a party, and I more and more am feeling that I am not being represented by my party lately, especially with folks like Jeff Flake and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and their like, Susan Collins up in Maine, Republicans like that. Well, I would certainly be upset. Republicans are very upset right now because they don't feel like they're being represented properly, or at least they don't feel like once the people get into office that they're not fulfilling their campaign promises. Now, a lot of people out there are very upset with the Republicans because they're giving Democrats more talking points. We had, Pelosi said, well, look at the president. You know, all of these failed promises. Well, they wouldn't be failed promises if the Republicans in the House and the Senate would get behind the president and his agenda. Jeff Flake is now one of the, well, he's one of the resistance movements now. He might as well put on a pea hat and go march at the, you know, in Washington with the National Association for Women and Planned Parenthood for as much good as he is worth right now. Let's go to Chris in Somerville. Chris, what do you think about Maxine Waters?
I tell you what, man, I'm getting so sick of this whole race, racist issue that black people, and I know, I'm going to say black people because I don't, I know 100% of them are not like that. I've heard
plenty
on your show.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But when it's okay for Maxine Waters to suggest that they use their power, their influence, reverse that, have a white person saying, I want a white party with our power and our influence,
yeah.
And it would be unacceptable. And I'm just really sick and tired of identity politics. Either you are American, you are not. That's it. Black, white, it doesn't matter. If you're for this country, be for this country. But to divide the country on race means you want to divide the country, period.
Mm-hmm.
You are not for the country. And why we celebrate this kind of nonsense, because we do. I mean, maybe not me and you, but society celebrates it. It's beyond me. I mean, it is racism. Every time I hear black leaders talk about what the black people need to do for the black community only, it's racism. If you had a white person saying that, they would be shut down in a second.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. It just frustrates me when I hear, you know, she's definitely not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but she's still elected to Congress.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. It just really gets under my skin when I hear that, because you're hearing it more and more and more every day now. And I mean, I don't think we're the United States anymore. We are definitely the divided states.
Absolutely, we are. And you know what? It's because folks like Barack Obama and the Democrat Party are making sure that we are divided.
Exactly. And I'm just, you know, it's just sad, but it's the reality that we have to deal with. And that's why I think that there's a lot more black people, Hispanic people, who are coming over to the GOP side because they're sick of it. They're sick of seeing, you know, they have dug themselves out of holes, built themselves up, have successful lives and careers, and they're tired of the black leaders telling them that they can't do it without them.
Right. You're right.
And the same breath, keep it up, because it's really going to backfire.
It's going to heavily backfire on them. Scott, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. But like we said, you know, the Democrats, if they don't have division, then their plan does not work. So what the Democrats have to do is make sure that race keeps being in the forefront. They want to create class warfare. They want to declare war on the rich, because they want you to think that you are being somehow being left behind by everybody else. Like somewhere out there, somebody described it like this. It's like you're walking down a hall and there are doors lining this hall on both sides. And behind these doors, everybody's having a wild party. But you're being left behind. For some reason, you haven't been invited in one of these rooms. Well, everybody is invited. Everybody's invited. You just got to open the door. You just have to open the door and join it. Join the party. But they want to make sure that you're divided because they have to sell it. They have to sell this ridiculous narrative that in some way that this country is a racist country. You know, they're always talking about, and the only reason that we talk about race so much in this country is because we actually fought a war over it. That's it. That's the only reason whatsoever. So how many other countries had slavery in the 1800s? Plenty of them. All of South America. Cuba had slavery. All of Europe just about had slavery. We're talking about just about every nation on every continent had slavery in the 1700s and 1800s. Just about every single one. But they don't discuss it as much as we do. Because why? Well, because you're taught, you know, you go to school, first grade, they tell you about the Civil War. And that was about slavery. They fail to mention that in the grand scheme of things, the United States had slavery a lot shorter time than other nations. Certainly in a lot shorter time than Brazil. Well, the slavery in Brazil started in the 1600s. And they also failed to tell you that slavery continues to go on today in many of these countries in Africa. Many of these Muslim-run countries. But you can't say that because then you'll be Islamophobic. You certainly can't say anything about that. So the only reason that's their currency. Their currency is you being less than. Their currency is you keeping behind. Because as long as they can keep you down, you're going to keep voting for them in some hopes that they are going to miraculously ride in on some white horse and save the day. That's what they want. Instead of you being told, hey, this is how you become a success in this country. This is how you rise above. This is how you do things. Rahm Emanuel, talking about Chicago being a sanctuary city, with this ridiculous notion that the Cato Institute comes along and says, oh, well, look, crime is actually less in sanctuary cities. Really? Chicago? You're going to tell me that crime in Chicago, because they're a sanctuary city, that crime has gone down? Miami just said, basically sent a message to Jeff Sessions, said, hey, Mr. Sessions, you know what? We're with you. We're not going to be a sanctuary city anymore. Miami reversing that decision to be a sanctuary city. Well, good for them. Good for the Hispanic mayor down there in Miami. That's how you do it. When people are here illegally, they are here illegally.